He peered at the damage, weighing up what should be done. Then he glanced back over his shoulder to check that the Sec Patrol wasn't making an unexpected return toward its base. The trap was nearly 5 feet long, with a double row of sharp teeth, but the intention of the device was to catch and hold, rather than to snap or amputate. The points were covered in a coating of what looked like thick rubber. If it hadn't been for that protection, Ryan had little doubt that JB's lower leg would have been splintered like a dry branch. Arteries could have been severed, turning the thing into a cold killer. Ryan reached out and touched it tentatively.
Careful, amigo. Kind of touchy.
Sure. Like Mildred says, we're going to have to break some eggs to make this omelet.
Well, as you don't break my leg in doing it, best try to use your panga.
It's my guess, too. Ryan slid the 18-inch steel blade inside the double row of teeth, trying to find some way of bracing it so that he could exert the considerable pressure it would need to free the armorer's trapped limb. JB was sitting up straight, his leg out in front of him, watching Ryan's efforts.
Looks like the spring's got some kind of a lock pin. Set and braced with a hair trigger release. Need to open it far enough to be able to set it again.
I can see that. I can't see how to do it. Nothing to set the blade against.
I got an idea. Use the butt of the scatter gun. Put it in and then slide it along until it fits snug. Then I'll try to hold it still while you push in the panga. Bit at a time. Gain us an inch and then another and then another.
Could work. There's a risk of it slipping and then clamping tighter.
I have to take that risk. If I can just hold the M4000 steady, it should work. And if I fuck up, then it's all down to me, isn't it?
Might as well get started, then.
Oh, I'm cold. Guess that must be shock creeping in on me.
Let's do it. Ryan took the proffered scatter gun and jammed the pistol grip between the teeth of the man-trap, working it carefully in until it jammed in the narrowing gap. JB sat frozen and still. There was enough light for Ryan to see his friend's clenched teeth.
Now the blade. If I tell you to stop, then do it. I'm about to yelp out, and that would likely put us both on the last train west.
Ryan had carried the long panga for many years now, and knew to a hair's breadth precisely how strong the tempered steel was. He levered it gently in, while JB braced himself in the opposite direction, using his free leg, digging it into the damp earth, hanging on to the barrel of the shotgun.
Here we go.
Red blasted painful, Ryan.
It has to be done. Unless you want your leg cut off. I could do that.
I don't think Mildred would love me so much if I turned up as a gimp to rescue her. Keep going.
Ryan decided to go for it in one big push. Not warning his partner, he simply threw all of his weight and strength against the taped hilt of the panga. JB toppled sideways, bringing his knees up into a fetal position. He reached down to touch the place above the ankle where he'd been trapped.
It's like a bastard. I would appreciate holding your hand again for a few seconds.
Ryan gripped his fingers, feeling the shaking.
It hurts while the blood flows back. Give it a bit. Then we'll take a look and see what the harm is.
They sat together in the cool stillness. It took several painful minutes to unlace JB's combat boot and slide it off the swollen ankle. Ryan probed as gently as he could. JB moved the injured leg, rotating the foot in both directions.
How's it feel?
I don't think it's broken. Stiff, though. Slow me down some. Hinder any tightrope walking I might be thinking of. That's gonna take the edge off my famous gold medal winning tango.
You wanna try standing?
No.
You need a hand up?
No. Yeah.
He reached for Ryan and heaved himself erect with a single movement.
Best try and get that boot back on before the swelling gets too bad and you can't manage it.
You'd have done well as a Grand Inquisitor to the Spanish Inquisition, Ryan. Torture's your trade. Help me sit down again and I'll get the bastard thing on.
Patrol's coming back.
Didn't go far.
Just checking a wide perimeter, I guess. Get down flat and keep still.
The Sec men moved past in an impressively well-ordered patrol, vanishing through the open main gate of the forest camp.
Think that's it for the night?
Who can tell? Wolfram's a wily rodent, and the Magus plays games nobody else knows.
It became obvious very quickly that the leg injury was going to be too serious for them to do anything combat-wise for several hours. Ryan left JB resting among the undergrowth while he scouted deeper into the trees, finding a narrow, fast-flowing, icy-cold stream. With support, the armorer was able to limp the quarter mile to reach it, peeling off the boot again and bathing the injured limb.
Feels good.
He pulled his foot from the stream, examining it by the light of the moon. There were several deep indentations around the top of the ankle, black-purple in the silvery glow, all of them badly swollen. There had been very little blood, but the bruising seemed to have gone through to the bone. He tried to put some weight on it.
Easier?
Time was passing, though Ryan didn't want to put any undue pressure on his friend. They hadn't eaten properly for some time, though the chilly stream water was reviving. It was vital that they got their attack underway as soon as possible, taking the best advantage that they could of the remaining few hours of darkness. It was already past midnight.
A little bit better. I can walk, but I still can't run. When we finally make our plan, we'd best take that into account. Put me somewhere to stand and shoot, and you do the chasing around.
Yeah. Guess we best come up with a finished plan, and do it soon.
They both stared at each other, and grinned at the absurdity of it all. The Wag came up the trail from the south. It was the rebuilt cab of a pre-dark semi, dappled with old strips of wasted chrome, and hooked up on the back was an armored flatbed piled high with crates. The moon was almost hidden behind some ragged clouds, and Ryan angled his wristchron toward it to try to make out the time.
3:10. Night's passing on by.
JB had been dozing at his side. He massaged his badly bruised leg, trying to restore something close to full movement in it.
I wonder where they've been.
Ryan peered through the screen of trees, uncomfortably aware of the number of alert SecMen who patrolled inside the wire, as well as those watching through night glasses from the range of tall towers around the perimeter of the fortress.
Looks like they're stopping. Guards coming out and checking it. Don't think they were carrying anything of great... Wait a minute.
What?
Ryan flattened himself in the short grass, staring intently.
Refueling it.
JB wriggled over alongside his companion.
Fuel? Now that could be great.
Could be really something. Never noticed that they got gasoline here.
In that small building without windows. Backing onto the kitchens.
Yeah. Doors open to it. They can just make out a couple of real big tanks. Could be 1,000 gallons each. Could be.
Full or empty?
If they're full and we can get inside the camp and at them, then we got us the biggest and best diversion you could ever think of.
Bring every stick you're running for 50 miles around.
Surely would.
The two friends watched as the Wag was refueled, with a half-circle of SecMen standing around it, arms ready, looking out through the brightly lit wire into the forest beyond.
Those lights could be a mistake. Makes it almost impossible for them to spot us out here, because of the downward glare. But we can see them, easy as turds in a bowl of vanilla ice cream.
Only problem is how to get in through the gates. Once we manage that, we can likely take out all the lights. You blow the gas, I'll whack the sec guards and release the others, and away we all go.
Sounds about as easy as falling off a log.
Well, Trader used to say that most plans sounded terrific when you made them, and most plans looked terrible after you tried to carry them out.
Can't argue with what Trader said.
Ryan stood and wiped his hands on his pants.
Well, fact is, most of his plans seemed to work out all right, in the end.
Yeah, but there was that time way up in the High Plains country with a cesspool filled with dead horses when... You hear that?
Another Wag?
Think so.
Coming this way. Could be the chance we want to get inside. Better work this up real fast. As soon as the Wag stops in front of the gates.
The senior SecMan in charge of the entrance gates to the camp was Balliol Davishaux, a tall, skinny Cajun with most of his left hand missing, the result of a tangle in the bayous with a muty gator. Both the Fat Man and the Magus had drilled into every man in the fortress what would happen to anyone who captured either of the men who were out in the woods, trying to spring the redhead and the other three outlanders, as well as what would happen to anyone who neglected his duty and got lazy or careless. Balliol Davishaux had worked long enough for Wolfram to be certain he didn't want the second choice. Gert Wolfram and the Magus were both capable of taking punishment and torture to unimaginable depths. There was enough light spilling from the towers to reach about 50 yards down the narrow track,